Turn with me, please, to Isaiah chapter 37, and I'm going to get us started in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the intercessors. Thank you, Father, for those that have come to hear the word of the Lord. Thank you for the faithfulness that they have stood the test of time in 2021. Thank you for the promises that are coming in 2022. Thank you, Father God, that you speak to us. And you encourage us, and you prepare us, Lord God, to align ourselves with your will in the days ahead. Open up your word to us. Let your spirit come. Be our teacher, our guide. For every second of this evening, I thank you, Lord, and I praise you. In your precious name, amen. So, before I read from his word, I have a couple of visions that I'm going to share, and then, but it's probably going to be in the midst of this time that we have in the word, and then I want to give you some encouragement. And, Mom and I were just talking about this, how much we value you and what a treasure you are and an anchor you are to this ministry, but more importantly, to this nation. And the work that we're doing for this nation will impact the nations of the earth. So thank you. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. So Isaiah chapter 37, we're going to start at verse 14, and I'm going to read, and then I'm going to give you a little bit of background, and then we'll go from there. Verse 14, and Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it, and Hezekiah went up unto the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubim, thou art God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear all the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. Now, a little bit of background. The king, Sennacherib, he's from Assyria. And the Assyrians had already come in, and they had about maybe 20 years prior, they had come in to the northern kingdoms, the 10 tribes up north, and they had laid waste to them, devastated all of those kingdoms up north. And so now here they are knocking on Jerusalem's door. And they have sent forth Rabshakeh to come and take the southern kingdom. That's the goal. We've already taken the northern kingdoms. We've already taken your men and put them up into the northern kingdom, up into Assyria. We've already taken Assyrians and we've mixed them all in here. Now we're coming for Judah. And they came in the middle of the town square, and they boasted this. In fact, the leaders in the town square said, we know the Assyrian tongue. How about you speak to us in the Assyrian tongue? Why? Because the people of the southern kingdom couldn't all understand Assyrian language. And they were afraid that the people would cower in fear and put pressure upon King Hezekiah to cave to the wishes of Assyria in order to save their lives. So that's the background. He comes into the town square, boasts about devastating all the nations, tells them, "We're here now to take you." So when this took place, they came and they told Hezekiah. Hezekiah sent a message to Isaiah. Isaiah said not to worry, because the Lord says he's going to send in a rumor and he's going to take this military leader back up to Assyria. And the Lord is going to deal with them there. So this leader is sent back up to Assyria. Meanwhile, Sennacherib sends a letter down to Hezekiah. This is our starting point. He sends another threatening letter down to King Hezekiah. And in that letter, he tells him, "We're coming to get you." So King Hezekiah has already heard the word of the Lord. So he takes this into the house of the Lord and he lays out these threats before the altar. And he prays, "Incline thine ear, O Lord. Open your eyes. See what I am seeing, hear what I am hearing. Lean your ear," and I've talked about this, incline thine ear. When that prayer is made, we're asking God to actively stretch his ear down to hear our prayers. And when we do, he does. So Hezekiah lays it out. This is followed by another word of the Lord from Isaiah. Now you say, "Ricky, you really spent a lot of time in the Old Testament. You know, aren't we like New Testament people? Aren't we New Covenant people?" The Old Testament was written from God's perspective. The Old Testament, the Old Covenant, was written by prophets, scribes who assembled those facts together. We have thousands of years of information. Some, it's 20, 30, 40, 100 years are in one chapter. But the prophets of those days wrote out that which would be the most important for history. Why? Because we need to see history through God's eyes. This is where we fail in our walk. This is where we stumble in our prayers. Because we're not viewing things from God's perspective. Now, the one thing about prophetic intercessors is they tend to cry out to God and hear from him how to pray. When you're connected with a prophetic ministry, you are hearing the word of the Lord. That's why the prophet, the voice of the prophet, is so important in this hour. We are in a season and time when we have nations like the Assyrians, nations like Sennacherib, sending Rabshakeh down to take over a nation. And when we understand history through God's eyes, what ends up happening? We can see the end from the beginning. And at the very least, we can see a few days in advance so we know how to pray. This is where God is calling his people. We have spent 22 years praying for this nation, not for it to fail, but for it to overcome and show the nations of the earth how to follow suit, how to follow the voice of God. And order our steps according to his voice, his perspective of history, so that we are ordering our steps by his voice, not man's. His voice, his perspective, because he knows the end from the beginning, not the media. His perspective, not our neighbors, not our fearful brothers and sisters, but God's perspective. Because when we are ordering our steps through God's perspective, we can pray according to His divine perfect will for our nation. So when Hezekiah went before the Lord to hear the word of the Lord, laying this final attempt to swallow Judah up in this assault to take out Israel, the Lord speaks to who? His prophet. And Isaiah sends back word from the Lord. Verse 21 down through 28 tells us the word of the Lord and God's rebuke to Sennacherib for threatening his nation. But we're going to read verse 29. Because thy rage against me and thy tumult is come up unto mine ears, therefore I will put my hook in thy nose and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way which thou camest. Why is that so important? Because when the Assyrians enslaved people, when they captured a nation, they would often put a ring in the I think it's called the cartilage, right in the front of the nose, that would go like through the nostrils. They would put a ring either there or on the side, and a chain would be hooked to it, like a bridle in a horse's mouth, so that they could control them and let them know who was boss. That's why when I see these young girls, these young men piercing their nose, I think, do you know who you just dedicated yourself to? Do you know who you just, what you just did? So the word of the Lord back is, I am going to put a ring in your nose, and I am going to grab hold of that rein, and I am going to jerk you back where you came, and off he went. Now, what ended up happening? Well, they all went back because they had another siege that they were involved in. All of the army of the Assyrians were camped in one place on this particular night. I'm not saying it's all of them. I'm just saying a good chunk of them. And the angel of the Lord came in. 185,000 of their strongest warriors were slain that night. Because this army dared challenge, mock the word of the Lord, challenge his people who were crying out to God for help. Judgment fell upon that nation. 185,000 were slain in one night. Now the Assyrians were a violent people who had taken many nations, and as I said, 20 years prior, had taken the northern 10 tribes of Israel. And the things that they did to them, the enslavement they put them in, the submission to their gods, that the northern kingdom was subject to. Open the door for this level of judgment to fall upon their nation. It's justice. God's justice must be accomplished. In in our nation right now. The Lord said, the judgment of Jehu is come. What did Jehu do? I talked about this last week. Jehu, in both the northern and the southern kingdom, dealt with both kings because of their entanglement in child sacrifice. Their worship of both Ashtaroth and Moloch warranted justice because the blood of the innocent were crying out to God for justice. And when the Lord said the judgment of Jehu was coming, we had no idea that Roe versus Wade was going to be heard in the Supreme Court this month. No idea. And as I shared last week, when that curse is lifted off of our nation, you will be amazed at how different our nation is, how different the hatred, the bloodletting, the violence. You look at a city that has intense violence, look at the abortion statistics in that city, and you will see a parallel. It opens the door for it. But the Lord has had us look at these kings and the men that God raised to save the nation, both the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom as long as possible. The southern kingdom because of his covenant with David. They were all engaging in sin. We just happened to have a few more kings who did right in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord has had us look at this because it is an important lesson for us as a nation. How will the word of the Lord, how would the prophets write the history of this nation? What's the timeline that the prophets would speak of in terms of this nation? In the early 1900s, the people cried out to God for change. The people met before God, oppressed people met before God and cried out to him. During that time throughout our nation, we had mighty men and women who were preaching across the nation the holiness message. We had men and women that were interceding across our nation in such profound ways that the nation was being changed, not by government, but by the people within that nation, our nation. And because of this, because we cried out to God, he heard from heaven, and he leaned his ear down. And just like I shared last week, that vision I had, it was so profound. And he rained himself down upon our land. And the Pentecostal movement was born. But the people's hearts had been prepared through the men and women. Mother Adder, she was fighting to save the people of this nation. We had men and women that traveled across this nation to change the heart of man to God. For 22 years, we have been raising up people who would fight and cry out to God on behalf of this nation, because it will be a blueprint. When this succeeds, it will be a blueprint to the nations of the earth. And it will break the strongholds of communism off of the nations of the earth. How do I know this? Because the Lord has shown Mom and He has shown me this. How will the prophets write the history of this nation? Did the people press in? Regardless of what things look like, regardless of what the false prophets, aka the media, were saying, regardless of the way things looked on the outside, did the people press in according to the word of the Lord? Because when they do, He pours Himself out upon a nation. And victory comes. On the last night of our GOE, 2 weeks ago tonight, I had two visions. The first one, I saw the nation covered in plaster Paris. It was cracking and falling off the surface of the nation. This allowed the sun to hit beneath the surface. The roots of communism were attached to the bottom of the plaster, and now, having cracked and come apart, they were exposed, and the exposure to the sun was causing them to die. Nancy Pelosi was standing on the plaster and, seeing it cracked and separated, tried to dig her heels in to keep herself and the communist agenda hidden and anchored to the nation. But she couldn't get her heels rooted because the surface was so unstable and kept shifting. She then tried to smooth out the cracks with more plaster Paris, and it kept breaking up, so she took scotch tape and tried to tape the pieces in place. So by now, she's on her hands and knees, and she has this big roll of scotch tape trying to bring these pieces together. It was actually quite comical, but they wouldn't even come together, much less stick to the tape. And then the Lord, as the Lion of Judah, came and breathed out, and everything blew off the nation and into the sea, including Nancy. Now, remember, we were praying about communism here. We were praying against the progressive communist agenda that they are trying to entrench and put our nation, God's covenanted nation, in bondage with. So we have to look at this from God's perspective. What is God saying? What steps are He calling for? What is He ordering in this hour? So I began to look at this vision, and I was typing it up, and the Lord said, "Why do you think it was scotch tape?" And I said, "I don't know, Lord, why was it scotch tape?" And He said, "Check her stock." Okay, so Nancy Pelosi has stock in 3M, which owns Scotch Tape. In addition to Scotch Tape, they produce masks. The masks that we wear, the masks that they're requiring, the masks that are being sent the world over. And in the last 2 years, Nancy Pelosi's portfolio, along with many other career politicians, have seen an increase of 40% in their profiles. Their financial portfolio, 40% increase. So at our expense, they're putting us in bondage, at least they're trying to. They're standing out there doing their press conferences, like Rabshakeh, sending letters, like Sennacherib, sending letters, boasting of their exploits, while the people of the nation are being threatened day and night. And the Lord said, I am exposing this. Press in and press on. The Lord said 2022 would be the year of the catalyst. Press in and press on. In 1999, as I was going over this, the Lord reminded me of this. In 1999, we held our first gathering. And the spirit of reformation, the angel reformation, was released in our nation and began the work of exposing the communist roots that they had been planting in our nation for over half a century. The spirit of the Lord has sent our helper. From that point, and if you go through our nine steps to glory, it used to be we pray the seven arms, now it's nine steps to glory. We saw revival begin to break out in certain places around our nation. Reformation was coming. First we had repentance. Reformation was in place. Revival began to pop up. We began to see restoration of certain things. In 2020, my mom came on the line, and he had shown us both this. He showed me a little bit later another example of this. But she came on the line, and she began praying. Now, this is when the protests were beginning. This is there were protests about the lockdowns. Then we had protests over with Black Lives Matter. And she came on our staff line, and we were praying, and she released this word over the nation with her staff. Revolution was here. Revolution was here. What is revolution? It is an unseating of things that are put in place. The Lord has been exposing and unseating the communist agenda that has been put in place since, I believe, the 1930s, they first started it. It might have been earlier than that, so I apologize about that date wrong. The Lord is moving our nation forward. The Lord is moving our nation forward. We have revolution taking place. Reconciliation will be coming. There will be a renewal in God. We've had this year has been the year of revelation, tremendous revelation about the corruption so that we can pray. And reclamation is coming. And we have our nine steps to glory. Nine steps to glory, my friends, where the Lord will rise up from his lofty throne and he will pour himself down upon our nation. Because the people were faithful and they stayed the course. And instead of listening to man, they listened to the word of the Lord and heeded the call of the prophets to fast and to pray and to press in and press on, because victory is coming. Whenever you feel discouraged, I want to share one more vision and then I'm going to close. Whenever you feel discouraged, I want you to remember Nancy frantically trying to replaster that plaster Paris on our nation, knowing all of her plans are about to be blown out to sea. The second thing I saw on the night of the GOE, I saw some of the intercessors, and they were so weary. They were not physically tired. They were emotionally spent. And it seemed that it was because they lacked faith to see this through and thought their efforts were futile. Now, weariness, this is not a fault, and I want you to know that, because we've all gone through points in our walk where we struggle. There was a time in my life when I was going through terrible health issues, and I kept seeking God to heal me, and he wasn't healing me. And I just lacked the faith to see that through. My mom was always encouraging me, just got to trust the Lord, honey. He will do this. He will do this. And in the end, he did. She was right. But I was weary, and the enemy was able to hit my faith. So they were praying, the intercessors were praying, and they threw up their hands and were about to give up and sit down. And just as they bent over to sit down, the order for victory was released, and I saw a Rolodex sitting on the desk containing the promises of God. A hand came down and spun the Rolodex, and the victories were won before their bottoms could hit the seat of the chair. The victories were won before they could actually make contact with the chair. And it was a Rolodex. Remember those old Rolodexes, you know, that you had on office desks and they spun around in circles and my kids would spin it really fast because they thought it was funny. The victories that we have seen, that we're holding on to, that God is going to right the wrongs that have been done in our nation. God is going to uproot communism from our nation. And in turn, that will show the pathway, the history for the breakthroughs in nations around the earth. He's going to overturn Roe versus Wade. We have to look at history through God's eyes and not man's, and trust God, because the victories are coming. 2022 is going to be the year of the catalyst, and that is going to thrust us forward so fast. We're going to see these breakthroughs coming. Hold on, my friends. And if your faith has been hit, I'm going to pray for you tonight. But if your faith has been hit, spend time in the Word reading Psalms. Spend time encouraging your faith over the victories that God has wrought. Spend time letting God touch and heal your faith, because we're going to need you to push this nation up and over the finish line in 2022. So let me pray for you.